Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, Millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast. Happy Monday. Hope everyone's having a fabulous, gorgeous, stunning, beautiful, stunning, smart, wickedly talented beginning of their week. Speaking of wickedly talented, it's a girl that I know, that I love. It's Jackie O. Hey, Jax, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Would you say that I'm wickedly talented? I thought that's where you were going.
Did I not say that?
I don't know. I thought you were about to, like, speaking of wickedly talented, it's a girl that I know. So I don't know if...
So I guess I didn't actually say it, but I did mean to call you wickedly talented.
Thank you so much. That's what I was bracing for. And I was so flattered because I think what we do here is truly a talent.
Special.
And I find you to be so talented in the craft. So it's like, it means a lot coming from you.
That's so sweet. Like you calling me talented, me calling you talented. Like we're in such a good mood today. It's fabulous. Fabulous.
You're so positive considering
I know
the events of yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
I think we should start. Let's start at the beginning of the weekend because we haven't been together on air since Thursday.
Right.
Friday was our Jay Shetty episode. The reviews are in. I mean, people are obsessed. I think a lot of people who love Jay, like obviously he's a huge podcast. He's like 12 million followers. They were so excited. And then a lot of people that were doubtful. They're like, who's this Jay Shetty? I thought it was going to be Taylor Swift.
So were you saying they're doubters, non-believers?
That's exactly what I was saying. Thank you for putting it to a tune like that. And so many hearts and minds were changed. I knew people were going to be obsessed with the episode. Like, you know when you're doing something and you know it's good?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're doing something and you know it's shit. But I knew what I was doing was good. And people were loving it. I know so many people pre-ordered his book. So I think Jay had a fabulous time. Jay sent me a voice memo. He was like, I'm reading through the comments on like YouTube and like your fans are so nice and like they're all ordering the book and I just really appreciate you having me on. And, you know, he was blown away by the power of the toast. And I was so proud to be like head toaster, you know?
That's such a prideful moment.
It was. And so I'm so glad everyone loved it. It was kind of different. We don't usually do like sit down interviews, but I thought it was like we took a chance and I'm glad we did.
Yeah, I'm glad we did too. And you did an amazing job and I'm glad everyone liked it and got so much out of it.
Got so much out of it. And, you know, this is like kind of like a busy couple of weeks because we don't usually do guests, but we have another guest interview that I recorded
in
LA.
That's what happens when Turd goes to LA.
It's so true. The Turd hits the coast.
Los Angeles Turd.
On Thursday, we have another interview. If you're on Patreon, you already know about it. It's going to be a really good one. It's not the whole episode like last time. It's much shorter. We'll have a regular episode and then just the interview at the end. But I think you guys are going to love that one too. So it's good stuff.
Fantastic, fantastic stuff.
Fantastic, fantastic stuff.
Yeah, so other than that, it was a pretty quiet weekend over here. I've been reading the book for the Redheads, The Magnificent Lives of Marjorie Post. Amazing book. Episode drops Thursday. We record tomorrow. It's not too late to join. Everyone's loving this book. Amazing, fascinating woman that you've never heard of, but like you absolutely need to. Like she's an heiress, like one at one point, probably like the richest woman in America. And then
jealous.
Like to see what she did about that is pretty fascinating.
I was actually, so I went to the Eagles game yesterday and I was at like a family tailgate with a bunch of the Wags. I spoke to them. They like being called wags, so they didn't mind. And I was talking to one of the wags' moms, and she was like, she was asking me about podcasting. She's like, I like to read. I listen to some reading podcasts. And I was like, you should check out TRBC. And I was explaining it's like redheads, but spelled read because my sister has red hair. And she was like, that is just darling. Like, she loved it.
And you told her, like, what we do?
Yep. I was like, different girls, different perspective, different books, a common love of reading.
A book a month.
A book a month. But that was just the beginning to my day. So yesterday, obviously, if you're following football, not an ideal outcome for a couple of Niner girls. But so I went to the game. Major shout out to Annie, whose family owns Top Crop, which is like one of the largest and oldest family-owned farms in, I think, all of Pennsylvania. And they have had this, you know, suite at Lincoln Field for like years and years, their grandparents. Like, it was like, just listening, it was like, it was actually amazing. And they were so cool and so nice. And like, they were so generous to host us. And
that's so nice. And coincidentally, so nice. Today's episode is brought to you by Top Crop.
It's not, but you should check them out for all your produce needs. It was amazing. They were like so nice. And they were just like these, like, they were just like so like Jersey Italian family. Like, it was really awesome. And so we had great seats and I was feeling good, you know. But before the game even started, I just want to say, like, it is not even remotely possible for any team to do a game in Philly, especially when the stakes are super high, and win. Like, the energy, like, I've been to a few football games in my life, and they're always like, you know, the fans are great and they have all these songs. Philly was on another level. They have like all these chants and hand motions and fireworks. Like, it was on crack. It was just insane. And I, like, the second I sat down, I was like, it's going to be so hard, like, energy wise for a team to win this game. Like, the fandom is the way that it is for a reason. Like, it's crazy.
So the home court advantage was real.
Yeah, and I think, like, home court advantage is definitely a thing, but I think in Philly, it's on another level. Like, the fans, like, they were so engaged. Like, whenever it was their offense, silence. Whenever it was their defense, crazy. Like, and it didn't wean throughout the night. Like, people didn't lose energy. It was almost unfair. Like, that's how much of an impact I think the energy was having on the field.
Interesting. Well, a few things happened. I don't know that it was the energy, because I was watching the game. And by the way, I was not watching when Brock got injured, so you can't blame that on me. But first, yeah. I started watching the game when it started, and Philly scored a touchdown. And I was like, okay, I'm going to just go into the other room because I'm, you know, bad luck. And then I came back out, and it was 7-7. And I was
Christian had scored.
Amazing stuff.
Christian was like, I'm so fucking done with this. Like, everyone is being dumb. And he was just like, I decided I'm taking the ball and running with it. There was like 15 people around him, and nobody could touch him. Like, he's just, I just decided I'm scoring a touchdown right now. And he just did it. It was actually really impressive.
So at some point while it was 7-7, before I came back, Brock got injured. So then I started watching. Brock was already injured, and the 49ers started stinking up the joint.
Yeah.
Not only were the 49ers stinky, the Eagles were really, really tight.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize they were a good team.
No, they're very good.
They're very good. They have what it takes. And I just want to say one thing about the final score, which was like 7-31. And it's not, I mean, it's unfortunate that their quarterback, and who's already like the second string,
right,
got out. They go on to third string. Like, they stand no chance. But
no chance.
The defense led in 31 points. That has nothing to do with Brock being on the field or not. Like, no, I understand why the score never went above 7 for the 49ers, but like,
no, it was a total
excuse for the defense.
It was a nationwide failure. Like, everyone was stinking it up. Like, no, you can't just, I completely agree.
So I hope that brings everyone solace. Because honestly, if it was just the fact that Brock was out, like, that would be so frustrating. Like, you know, we were so close and then the elbow went. But I think everybody contributed to the loss.
No, I think we all stunk it up.
And then after the third string quarterback, they went to fourth string. And then they just started tossing the ball around like they were the little
giants.
They didn't
go to fourth string. No. Brady, what's his name?
Brock. They ran, Brock. Claudia.
No,
Claudia.
Brock.
I know, he came in and didn't throw and he just kept tossing it. They ran the annexation of Puerto Rico. They did.
Excuse me?
You don't know that movie, Little Giants?
Little Rascals?
No, the football movie about the kids, and they run the annexation of Puerto Rico where they just keep tossing it and they make it down the field.
No, by the way, I have no idea what that movie is.
Real ones will know.
Real, no, that was a good joke. Like, I feel like if you get it, like, you get
it. If you get it, like, I'm the funniest girl in the world.
Yeah, well, he couldn't throw, so he was just doing little tosses. Like,
Right. But I really wanted them to put in, like, their fourth string quarterback, which you said was going to be Kyle Juszczyk, but, like, on ESPN, they told us it was going to be Christian McCaffrey. And I feel like either one of them would have been really good. Like, these guys, like, play football. They don't.
Yeah.
They play football for fun. Like, they can throw the ball.
No, I agree. And, like, they want it so bad. Like, you know, Christian wants to win. Like, they have, like, a lot riding on it. Like, I agree. And they should have tried something.
Christian and Kyle are so, like, enmeshed in the game plans. Like, I think more so than the third string quarterback who probably nobody ever thought was going to.
No, and Ben was telling me. He's been in the league for 15 years, like, as a scrub.
The boys were telling me.
And you know what? Like, he could have really made a moment, you know? Like, Brock was relatively unknown until Jimmy Garoppolo got injured. And you know what? Brock made the most of that moment. Josh Johnson could have been a hero. And instead, he's just stinking it up.
Yeah. I would have liked to see, like, Christian or Kyle play quarterback. Because I feel like they would have had fun playing and just like playing with their teammates, throwing the ball, you know, get back to what the game is about.
Something different. Like, what they were doing wasn't working. So try something different.
Yeah.
It was painful. And, you know, like, I didn't want to be like outwardly cheering for the 49ers. One, because I didn't want to disrespect the family who invited me, and they were huge Eagles fans. Like, there were tears. Like, I was with Taylor Donahue and her sisters. They were literally not okay. Like, this was such a big deal. So I didn't want to be like annoying. And then I just started getting depressed. I was just like, this sucks. I'm depressed. And yeah.
But to bring it to a positive note, then the second game was the Bengals versus the Chiefs. And I was like, if the Bengals win and it's Bengals versus Eagles, like, I'm literally not watching. I have no skin in this race.
Oh, that's so funny. I feel the other way. Like,
why
I don't
Kansas
really care
City,
about.
Like, we have Patrick Mahomes and we have Travis Kelce. And now, let me tell you
we
why we're
brothers.
Why we're interested in Super Bowl,
brothers.
LVI, III, whatever. It's brother v. brother. Jason and Kelce on the Eagles versus Travis Kelce on the Chiefs. Who
Jackie,
are the parents rooting for?
Jackie, it's brother versus brother, but more importantly, it's podcaster versus podcaster. They have a podcast together.
Who?
The brothers.
The brethren?
The brethren have a podcast together, and actually a few weeks ago, they did an episode about catching Kelce. And Travis was really honest. He said, honestly, I had no money. I like ran through every dollar I made in my rookie like career. I was just like excited to be making money, and they offered it to me, and I needed the money.
Oh my God. One, I'm going to go listen to that episode. Two, I cannot believe that the Kelce brethren are podcasters. What's their podcast called? Catching Kelce's?
It should be. No, it's called like, you know, Off the Field, Sideline. I don't know, some shit like that.
It's totally called Off the Field.
You know what I mean? Like, run the ball.
I want, New Heights with Jason and Travis Kelce.
Did I lie?
Oh my God. Are they going to do an episode of, like, leading up to the Super Bowl?
It would be good for ratings. It would be good for ratings.
It would be. I'm listening to the show now. Oh my God, I didn't realize. Oh, I think that's a cool angle for the Super Bowl, and now I'm invested once more.
It's a cool angle for the Super Bowl. Theo just got back from his walk, so if you hear a yelp, it's Theo.
Yeah, we did hear
that. Hey, no, do not eat my Fiber One bar, bitch. That's mommy's breakfast. Come here. So now, like, who do you think you're rooting for in the Super Bowl?
I'm still rooting for Kansas City because
I think I am too.
I just have, like, no, actually, I mean, a little part of me is now Eagles, an Eagles fan because the WAGs that I met over FaceTime yesterday were so lovely.
Yeah, so we got to pregame with a bunch of WAGs, and they were like, can we please see pictures of Harry? And I was like, of course you can. And then they were like, what's Jackie doing? Like, why isn't Jackie here? What is Jackie like? And I was like, let's just FaceTime her.
And they got to see this Hausfrau in her bed, looking a mess, but they were really sweet.
They were. And you know what? They, like, want our support so badly. I will say, though, you know, I was really nervous about going to Philly as an Eagles fan. I mean, as a Niners
Freudian
fan.
Freudian slip.
I was completely fine. Like, drama for what? But I was wearing an Eagles hat, so, like, I was trying to blend in, and I was with, like, six people, like, decked out in Eagles gear. Mm-hmm. I was fine, but I did feel as though, you know, if I were dressed differently, I would not have been fine, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so you protected yourself, but you weren't being overly dramatic.
I'm protecting myself. I'm doing what's best for me and my family.
Yeah. Yeah, but you were unscrupled in that regard.
100%. 100%. And of course I felt like if I wasn't there, the Niners wouldn't have lost, you know?
Of course I felt like if I wasn't invested in watching, because of course I didn't watch the second game, but like, you know, this small piece of me wanted the Chiefs to win. And they won handily. Except I think it came down to a kick. Because then Zach came in this
morning. But you know what? At least
that.
It was a good game. It was 20-23. Like, that's what we should be getting, not 30-7.
A blowout.
And the worst part, the real worst part was like after in like the third and fourth quarter when it was very clear there was no coming back. They had no game plan. They were losing. All the Niners like were being babies. Like they were starting fights. They were getting penalties. One of them got thrown out. Like
one
that fight
them, like,
that
like was shoved a guy as he was stepping out of bounds. It's like he's on his way there anyway.
That was not okay. Like that's what losers do. Yeah. And you know what? Like that was disappointing when that fight broke out and one of the Niners players like literally picked up this little eagle and threw him to the ground. Like that's not cool to do that when you're losing. That is just being a big sore loser and it makes you look like a loser. I'm sorry. It's not cool.
Yeah. Well, you know what? They hadn't lost in a while, so they forgot what it felt like.
100%.
Because they were winning.
Yep. 100%.
So
I'm glad I went.
You are?
Yeah, I had a good time. Like, I really, the tailgate was, like, so fun. And then once the game started, like, my team was losing, and I was like, this sucks. But I met such nice people yesterday. I had a good time. It was a long day. You know, I left my house at 10:30, and I got back at 10:30. I'm not used to being out of bed that long on a Sunday. But I also got 10,000 steps. Like, it was a good day.
Interesting. So who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl?
It's so hard, again, when you truly don't care about either teams.
Find something to care about.
Well, I care because, like, I was annoyed at Philly yesterday. So, like, I don't want them to
win now,
also, you know?
That's usually what happens. It's, like, the team that beat your team you can't root for.
I'm holding a grudge.
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs it is. And you know what? I'm going to support my fellow TikToker, Jackson.
Yes. Austin.
No. Jackson.
Who's Austin?
Austin is that singer.
He's a little guy.
That little singer.
Oh my God.
Jackson is the brother of Patrick.
I'm not okay. I really thought Jackson was the quarterback for a second. Like Austin's the brother.
You always think that Patrick
Mahomes.
And I've been to Kansas City 2-3 times. It's a fabulous town. Like it's so underrated. I really liked it both times I went.
The only thing is, like, I feel like there are actually a lot of Eagles celebrity fans who are like diehard, yes. You know,
Bradley Cooper was at the game.
Miles Teller,
yep,
loves the Eagles. And who are the celebrity Kansas City fans?
Girl, there are none.
There's got to be like some. Because then when I was on my Instagram last night, like then I saw in my stories, like, oh, all these people that I follow are Eagles fans. It makes sense. They're like from Philly or whatever. Like, I don't know if I know any Kansas City fans, which is why I have to be the Kansas City fan I wish to see in the world.
But I bet there are. I bet there are.
Yeah. But I'm going with Kansas City.
Me too.
I feel like the Eagles are going to win, though. They were looking really good.
I know, but it's like so easy to look good against a team that's stinking it up.
They were looking good before Brock got hurt.
I don't know.
And then it was just like they were sharp. There were some crazy things happening.
No, it was good execution. It really was.
It was. So I think they have what it takes.
I think they have what it takes too. But you know, you never count out the Countess. Patrick Mahomes is like the GOAT for a reason.
Yeah, everyone's the GOAT, right? Tom Brady's the GOAT. Aaron Rodgers is the GOAT.
No, Tom Brady was the GOAT. Aaron Rodgers is like not the GOAT.
Everyone they call the GOAT. I just want to say that.
For sure. Patrick Mahomes like signed like the biggest contract in NFL history. Like there's
so did
there's
Russell there. Wilson, the GOAT.
Yeah, and he was the GOAT, too. He doesn't play anymore.
There can be a million GOATs.
Yes, there can. In different fields. Like, I met Lane Johnson's girlfriend, and I found out via his girlfriend that Lane Johnson is a toaster. And is Lane Johnson the best player in the league? No. Is he the best at his position? He's the GOAT offensive tackle, I want to say. Yeah, you could be the GOAT at different positions, okay?
Because Christian McCaffrey's a GOAT.
Right, totally.
Kyle's a goat. George Kittle's a goat.
So I was in this suite and I had like these amazing fancy binoculars. And my God, it was so clear. I literally could see more clear than the TV. I was literally not being a freak, but like I just wanted to see what was going on the 49ers bench. Like, was there, you know, depression, sadness? And I didn't even watch a game. I literally sat with the binoculars on looking at like
the facials.
Kyle. and George and like Brock like sitting on this bench with their big coats, like being depressed. I'm like, you guys,
not the coat.
It's never too late, first of all. And their energy, like, come on, turn around.
They should have sent you in there the locker room for halftime.
I would have fucked shit up. No. I would have fucked shit up.
Whatever speech was given at halftime of the last game, remember, yep, things weren't going well. Where was that speech maker and where was that speech yesterday?
Because sometimes somebody just needs to be told, like, they're acting like a loser.
No, no, but you don't want to, like, sink them deeper into their hole. You have to, like, you have to pump them up.
No, but it's like, really? You want to be a loser? Okay.
Oh, that's shame not them inspiring. Into it. I'm not inspired.
Really? I think shame is a very inspirational tool.
I think it can be motivating, but it has to walk the right line.
The sad thing is that now I'm not going to the Super Bowl unless, you know, somebody wants to take me. But I was going to go, like, you know, for the Niners and, like, be a good fan. So now, like, I actually really don't care. Like, my boyfriend Joe Burrow is out. My boyfriend Kyle Juszczyk is out. Like, I don't really care.
Yeah. Who's the quarterback for the Chiefs? I just have to find new boyfriends.
Patrick Mahomes. Are you okay?
No. No, I'm not okay. I knew that. Like, I literally knew it. I just, like, was thinking stupid.
It's Hurts versus Mahomes. Mahurts.
Hurts. He was good.
So cute.
They said, Hurts so good. That's what the fan sign said.
No, everyone loved him. It was great. They greased the poles. Whatever. Can we move on? Like, yeah. I'm already in next season, you know?
Sure. Well, the Super Bowl is in 2 weeks, and that's what we got. We got Eagles versus Chiefs.
I think it's, like, such a meh matchup. Anyone else?
I,
like,
agree, but so is
last. I want, like, more glamour.
So was last year's.
What was that? Rams
Lar and versus the Bengals.
What's Lar?
L.A. Rams.
Oh, no, that's fabulous to me because there was, like, Matthew Stafford. Like, there was, like, glamorous elements. Like, I don't know. Patrick Mahomes is, like, you know, holding his family together by a thread, hoping they don't embarrass him again. And the other team, I don't know, I'm just, like, not into the Eagles.
They don't have, like, any stars.
I looked inside the belly of the beast, and I was like, meh.
I just think the Rams are a flash in the pan.
I mean, I completely agree. The Rams are so irrelevant. They didn't even make the playoffs.
No, like, they're just, like, what's the word? They're not, like, a franchise that's, like,
no,
a real franchise.
They're, like, unscrupulous.
I said it. I'm going to piss so many people off.
No, you know me. I just, like, love bounce to hate on the Rams.
City to city.
Yeah, they're, like, untethered.
Yeah, and that's, like, I can respect the Eagles because they have pride, yeah, in their city.
They have roots.
And their city
roots.
Has pride in
they
them.
They have roots.
Yeah.
They have roots.
There are a few teams that, like, untethered, rootless. The Chargers are not charging on my iPad. And the Raiders.
No, you're so right. They're so untethered.
Can't relate.
Couldn't be me. No, like, I was literally in a suite with, like, a family who's owned this suite for 50 years. Like, that's roots. That's being tethered.
That's scruples.
Yeah. The LA Rams stadium has been built for 5 days.
Yeah, it's like, oh, there's a new stadium being built in Las Vegas where the chairs shake when there's a tackle. Let's go there.
Yeah, no, I'd rather go to where there's history.
Herstory.
Herstory. So that's the football stuff you needed to know. If you skipped through that, you can tune back in.
If
now.
You skipped through that, you're lost.
You're missing out, girly.
You know, I watched Top Gun this weekend, too.
Oh!
And it was really, it was so good. Like, and I understand, like, we don't get movies that are real movies anymore. And so I really enjoyed it. And, of course, it was so hyped up. But I thought that the way, I didn't even watch the first one, but, like, I could, like, the storyline was so full circle. I felt like Tom Cruise was, like, doing the most.
Yeah, no, it was like this, like, old leathery man being the star. I understand.
And the love story between him and Jennifer Connelly, like, it took vomit. Everything in me not to fast forward.
Vomit.
I didn't like that one of my favorite people on earth, Glenn Powell, was a villainous character. But then
he came through at the
then
end.
He saved the day. Because it's like, that's not the John Glenn I know.
No,
John
no,
Glenn I would never.
No, I agree. I left the theater with, like, a smile on my face as it pertained to Glenn Powell.
Yeah, the dancing on the beach scene, what I just did was longer than what we saw.
Yeah, no, it was hella exaggerated on social media.
Like, what? That was unfair.
Like, not you giving a movie review for a movie that came out a year ago. Like,
no, but you know what? I waited. It's worth the wait.
It's a great film. I actually got started on our Oscar list because I saw The Menu on Friday night with Anya Taylor-Joy. It was fine. It was good. It was fine. It was cute. It was fresh. Like, is it going to win anything? No. Does it deserve to? No. Was Anya even, like, good? No. Did the ending like make no motherfucking sense? Yeah, it made no sense. It's fine though. It was like a good way to spend the night, you know?
Did you see this Oscars drama? It's not a story, but someone who was nominated for Best Actress, when I read her name, like I mean, so many of the actors and actresses like we've never heard of, so it wasn't that alarming. But like, I never heard of the person or the movie. And now people are saying like the movie only grossed $27,000. And they're saying there's like corruption that this was nominated, like, you know, back channeling, because this person does not deserve to be nominated. And the other argument is like, it doesn't need to be a blockbuster to be nominated. I'm sorry. It needs to earn. There needs to be a threshold of money that needs to earn. Otherwise I could film. Why can't this be nominated?
It should be.
We have 20. We could do 27,000 views.
Yeah, we could.
And by the way, $27,000 earned, like divided by the price of a movie ticket.
Yeah. That's weird.
Very few tickets sold.
I need to look into that. I don't know how I feel, because like, just because the movie didn't make as much money doesn't mean the performance isn't technically the best of the five, you know?
But like, how did you guys even find this
That's
movie?
The question. Like, where, what gutter did you pick this movie out of?
And the only like back channeling, I didn't investigate into this, but people are saying like the actress and her team, like they really emailed hard and like called, and like that's not a crime.
Oh, so like nobody else has ever done
advocating
that?
For yourself is not a no. crime. And by the way, everybody does that. But is it a little more nefarious?
No, there's something there. I want to look into this.
Yeah.
I'm going to launch an investigación.
Thought that was interesting.
It is.
And so I guess now, without further ado, here are the best five stories that you need to know.
And today's episode is brought to you by Branch Basics. Non-toxic, hypoallergenic, free of fragrance, hormone disruptors, and harmful preservatives. They're baby and pet safe. They're clean and cost-effective. It's Branch Basics. We only want the safest and best products that actually work around our pets and our bebes. Because only the best for Tiggity-Tie, Bruno Brass and Stress and Little Rodini. Ain't that right?
Only the best for these boys.
So Branch Basics One Concentrate is a product that can be used for everything. It makes laundry detergent, hand soap, dish soap, all-purpose cleaner, bathroom, floor cleaner. It can replace every single cleaning product in your home. And Branch Basics offers the refill model, so once you run out, the only thing you need to repurchase is the concentrate and the oxygen boost. So in 2023, I feel like we all need to be more responsible about what we're bringing into our houses. I feel like once you have a kid, like it really puts into perspective, like you're just spraying chemicals around Harry's bathroom and his tub. Like, no.
No, no.
Branch Basics.
No, I'm not.
Is super pet and baby safe. Again, it has no fragrance, no hormone disruptors, no harmful preservatives. It's super clean. And then with the refill model, it's very cost effective. And we, of course, have a code for you guys, the starter kit that'll get you started. You could literally toss out all the products under your sink, in your bathroom, just for this one concentrate that will turn into like five or six products. So get 15% off the starter kit when you use code THETOAST at branchbasics.com. We recommend the premium starter kit for all your cleaning needs. That's what Jackie and I both have. It freed up so much space beneath my cabinets. Like, I know you live in a house, but just another benefit of this company is the more space you have under your sink. So that's...
Yeah, also, I don't know if you saw the announcement that I made on Instagram stories this weekend, that I am clean and going clean and getting cleaner. And Branch Basics is one of the products that made that so easy. I said so many of the Toast sponsors are clean brands. And I don't have to like go and seek them out. Branch Basics is that brand for all of your cleaning needs.
Again, that's code THETOAST for 15% off branchbasics.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by Legacy Box. I think of all the sponsors, this is the one I get reached out to the most. Like, what was the code for that company? What was that company called? Listen up. Legacy Box. Think of all the time and money your family invests in capturing family vacations, football games, birthdays, weddings over the years. Recording a lifetime of memories was a commitment, and camcorders can cost thousands of dollars. Tapes are expensive, and cameras were, back in the day, requiring film and development. So now you have a box of stuff, and you have memories you cannot access until now. Thanks to Legacy Box. So Legacy Box exists to preserve your family's recorded moments digitally, ensuring that they're safe forever. So if you have a box of VHS, we did it years ago. It was the best thing we ever did. We grew up in the VHS era. We had boxes in storage of just like moments. We had no idea what was on there. For years, we tried like different things, like this VHS converter. None of it worked, and it was so expensive and hard. Legacy Box sends you packaging. They send you a label. Throw all your camcorders, your tapes, your cassettes, whatever you got, throw it in the box, and they will digitize it for you by hand. It's all done in America. It's super safe, and it's just the best way to preserve your family's memories. You can reclaim your glory days, makes a great gift for someone or just for yourself. It's like something you've been putting off. You owe it to your family to safeguard your memories. Don't let your photos continue to fade. Become your family's hero and the favorite child. Save them before it's too late when you buy a Legacy Box today. That's legacybox.com/toast to shop this exclusive offer. Legacybox.com/TOAST. Legacybox.com/toast.
Thank you, McClard.
You're welcome.
Our first story, big news that came out
on Friday,
I think. Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni will star in It Ends With Us. Justin Baldoni is also directing and Sony Wayfarer Studios adaptation. I don't know what that means. Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni are attached to star in the film adaptation of Colleen Hoover's best-selling novel, It Ends With Us, which is in development with Wayfarer Studios and Sony Pictures. Baldoni is also set to direct, with Christy Hall adapting the script. Alex Sachs will produce for the Sachs Picture Company, along with Jamie Heath, who will produce on behalf of Wayfarer Studios. Lively and Hoover are also executive producing, along with a bunch of other people, a lot of cooks in the kitchen on this movie. So it is pretty certain that Blake Lively will be playing Lily, who is our main character, and Justin Baldoni will be playing Atlas.
Yeah. Not him, like, right? Directing and giving himself the best part.
So there's not been
confirmation,
100% confirmation, but Blake Lively did post a Instagram story with darker hair that's like brownish
red,
reddish auburn, with the song playing "Lily, My One and Only," which
it was a confirmation. Okay,
except like until she posted that.
No, it's confirmed. Colleen Hoover. This news broke because Colleen Hoover made a TikTok and told everyone.
Right. Until Colleen TikTok, I thought maybe she would be playing, like, she would be involved in executive producing and, like, playing Ryle's sister, because this is a miscast.
Okay, this is such a flop, and I'll preserve judgment. Like, I will see the movie with open mind, but first of all, I read the book. I love the book. The characters are much younger than both of these two. It's supposed to be this, like, really young girl who finds herself in, like, a shitty fucking situation and doesn't know what to do. And, like, when you see Blake Lively, she's older, she's more mature, like, someone of that age would handle the situation that Lily's put in very differently than someone who's actually Lily's age. I hate this. I also hate the Justin Baldoni part of it, because let me tell you why. I don't know Justin Baldoni. I know people, like, die for him from, like, the Gina Rodriguez show, Jane the Virgin. I don't know this man. I don't know why. Like, I just get thirsty vibes from him. I cannot explain. Like, I know nothing about him.
You want to know why?
Why?
Because he has a podcast. Ooh. That's his podcast, which was nominated for a Webby.
Jealous. I cannot stress how much I hate this. And people on TikTok have been doing, like, here's who I would have cast, doing such good jobs.
This was so ripe for an amazing casting. Not only is Lily such a great character, it's such a great story. It's a young story, so we could have a young actress. We could have someone we don't know.
A young starlet.
We could be introduced to someone. Like, I hate to be ageist, but these two are too old.
It's not ageist to say, how old is Blake Lively? Please Google that for me. It's not ageist to say somebody who's, I think she's, I'm going to say, like, 38. It's true.
Yes. Also, Lily had just graduated college.
Right.
So she's like 22 and Blake Lively's 35.
She's too old. I'm sorry. That's not being ageist. It's just facts.
Yeah.
I hate this casting.
And it's like, when we go to the younger scenes of when she knows Atlas in high school, like, are they going to get a different actress?
Oh,
you're not going to have me watching Blake Lively play a high schooler, are you?
I had seen people casting, like, their dream roles. Sadie Sink for a young Lily.
Of course.
Was perfection.
Of course.
To me, this just sucks. Like, to me, it's just so obvious to go with, like, Blake Lively. In, like, her name is, you know, Blake Lively. Everyone knows her. It's just so, I don't know, it's so uninspired. And I love her. This is nothing against her. This, like, sucks.
It is uninspired. Missed opportunity, even though I'm sure Colleen is over the moon with the casting, because, like, this gives so many eyeballs to her movie. But, like, this book sold
already
over 20 million copies. Like, it's going to be a big success. Also, people are upset because Lily is a redhead.
Yep.
And we don't have a natural redhead in the role.
No, that's true.
And, you know, in the age where, like, we don't, you know, no more skinny people playing fat people, straight people playing gay people.
Where do the redheads fall into that?
People playing hetero people.
Yeah. It begs the question.
Now we have an unnatural redhead. Though, personally, if you want my opinion as a redhead, that part doesn't bother me, especially since she's dyeing her hair red. It's like, you know, she's wearing the fat suit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No.
There will still be the fat character.
No, it's
fine.
There
will still be a redhead.
It's literally fine.
Well, I'm just saying.
No, I'm saying I agree with you.
Yeah, but that's because that's been our thinking, like, every time this conversation comes up.
I don't know. I just, like, this sucks. Like, it really fucking sucks.
Yeah.
And who's going to play Ryle now? And Ryle is older than Lily.
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, like, not to, like, this just sucks.
You heard it here first.
Clint Eastwood cast in Colleen Hoover's adaptation of It Ends With Us.
You know who should play Ryle?
Who?
Ryan Reynolds.
Literally. I think a lot of people assumed that Justin Baldoni would be playing Ryle, like, because he was involved in the project and he kind of, like, looks like the described character, like, in the book.
Does he? To me, he looks like Alice.
No, to me, he looks like Ryle.
In this picture that they're showing.
Well, the hair.
Yeah. Because Ryle's like.
I think I imagined him as Ryle.
But he's playing Alice.
Yeah. And to me, I see Alice as like this. I can't explain, like, this pijam, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, like, I want to go home. Like, I hate this.
Yeah, I just feel like this movie could have been, you know, like Miley and Liam in the last song.
Yes.
Like, bring us, like, young love. Even it doesn't, they don't even have to be unknowns. And instead we got this.
It's giving Age of Adeline. Like, I don't.
Yeah. Oh, that guy from Age of Adeline would be good, too.
You know, I think of him a little bit as like a Ryle. I just feel like, and this is going to be a hot take, and maybe, you know, maybe I'm going to get hate for it. And I love her. I just feel like every movie Blake Lively does is not a real movie. I can't explain it. Like, her last couple of movies are, like, A Simple Favor, which, like, wasn't real. Do you know what I mean? It's, like, not a real movie.
Yeah.
That one where she, like, lives on a rock and there's a shark around her. Not real.
Yeah.
Age of Adeline, which was good, but it's, like, a fake movie. Like, nobody actually saw it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I, like, have a really crazy take.
What?
Like, it's really, like, hot.
I can't wait to hear it.
Blake, she seems so nice.
I love her. Taylor's best friend. I love her.
Like, I love her. She's so beautiful. I think she's an amazing mom. She's a great business
actress.
Woman. I love that she has her, like, non-alcoholic drinks. Yep. Like, she, I really, really love her. And, like, she's the most beautiful woman in the world. So I think she could handle this when I say
acting isn't for her.
I don't think she's a good actress. Like, she ruined Serena van der Woodsen.
No, you know what? I agree. I think we're all, like, so blinded by, like,
we're blinded
by her beauty and her fame and, like, her family, and it's perfect. And Ryan, like, we're blinded into thinking she's, like, she's A-list in terms of, like, fame, but not in terms of talent.
Yeah.
You know what? I kind of love her, that call.
I wouldn't call her wickedly talented.
No, you know what? I agree.
But she's so beautiful. Like, why wouldn't you want to watch her even if she's, like, screwing up?
No, I know. And it's, like, she kind of, like, has gotten really far in Hollywood for, like, not being good.
But because she's so beautiful and, like, she's naturally this beautiful. And, like, there are a lot of pretty and beautiful people in Hollywood. But, like, she's exceptional.
Exceptional looking.
And since she's young, like, since Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Such
and, like,
a good film.
And, like, she was, like, 16 then, and now she's 35, and, like, she's just as beautiful. Like, we deserve to see her all the time.
So
but
true.
Like,
yeah, no, I feel that call, like, desperately.
That's my call.
That's a good call. Yeah. It's a good call.
And I feel bad.
You could try Sears.
But you know what? She'll be okay.
She'll be fine.
She's doing fine.
I'm still going to see the movie. I'm just, like, not even remotely looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm really curious if they're going to do, like, young.
I hope they do.
I hope they do. That would give us, like, a little bit of that, what we're looking for in terms of, like, fresh new faces.
And the, like, the back end, like, the past portions of the book are so good.
And they're germane to the story.
Beyond. They have to do half and half.
Yeah.
The book, if you've never read it, flops between, like, this present day couple and the couple when they met in high school. And both parts are equally important to understand one another. And there's, like, a lot of drama that happens in the past. And it's not just, like, one flashback. It's half the book.
Right. And now we need to get a young actress who looks like Blake Lively. Not like Lily,
right,
as we imagine her.
Right. Stinks.
Yeah. So there you go. Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Some surprising estate drama surrounding the Presleys. Priscilla Presley has contested Lisa Marie Presley's will. She claims there's an invalid signature. So let me get through the deets. But Priscilla Presley has contested the authenticity and validity of Lisa Marie Presley's will. The businesswoman filed documents in LA Superior Court on Thursday challenging a purported 2016 amendment to the will, which ousted her as trustee. So in the earlier version of the will, Priscilla was a trustee, and then there's this 2016 amendment that ousted her, and it put Riley and Benjamin, Priscilla's two Lisa Marie's two children, as the trustees, but Benjamin has since passed away. The amendment allegedly removed Lisa Marie's former business manager, Barry Siegel, along with Priscilla from the trust, leaving Riley now the sole trustee after her brother died by suicide in 2020. In the court filing, Priscilla claims she and Siegel were first named co-trustees in January 1993 when Lisa Marie executed a revocable living trust, which she amended and completely restated on January 27, 2010. However, when she died in January, Priscilla claims she found a new amendment, which was dated from March 2016. Priscilla alleges in the docs that her daughter's signature on the 2016 document, quote, appears inconsistent with her usual and customary signature, further arguing that Lisa Marie's name had even been spelled wrong. She also claimed that the document was never notarized and had not been delivered to her during Lisa Marie's lifetime, as laid out in the terms of the 2010 trust.
Oh, that's weird.
Priscilla went on to note that she believes Barry Siegel has already or will soon resign as co-trustee of the trust. It's worth noting that Lisa Marie and that Barry Siegel finance guy, like, they have a whole long legal battle. He, like, left her with $14,000 and a ton of bills and, like, took advantage of her.
Oh, my God.
Estate.
Everyone is always taking advantage of the Presleys.
The Presleys, yeah.
This is so shady. Like, an unnotarized, misspelled.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It is weird. It's not weird that she took off Barry Siegel, but it would be weird that she removed Priscilla, who was at one point her executor. And if she was going to switch. No, but if she was going to switch to her children, to have told Priscilla that.
Yeah, but I guess at one point, like, you're not supposed to outlive your daughter. So I think, you know, the thinking was moving it from my mother to my children because, you know, it should go, you know, my mother dying and then me and then my children.
Right.
But that obviously didn't happen.
I feel like it has to actually be really that crazy if Priscilla's, like, fighting this legally, because otherwise it just means that Riley's the executor and, like, that's her granddaughter.
Right. No.
What's the problem?
I also feel like it should be relatively easy to figure out if this, like, document is fraudulent and forged.
Yeah.
Like, and it's figure like, it out.
If it was, then, like, who forged it? Also, like, who would do such a thing with the express interest of, like, Riley and Benjamin?
Right, right.
You know, it's not like so-and-so put his name in there.
No, there's something a little weird here.
There's something a little weird here. I think so, too.
I guess we'll have to wait and see.
That was surprising, especially, like, so soon after.
Yeah, it's so
her passing.
It's
like,
so
she was
sad.
HRS last week.
When, like, obviously that's the thing about death is, like, there's a lot of paperwork. So you're trying to grieve, and then there's, like, a million things.
Yeah, so if you see, like, a funky signature and big changes were made.
Ask questions.
You got to ask some questions.
Yeah.
But also she, like, is filing.
She's filing.
She's filing tings.
The tings have been filed.
Are you ready for our next story?
If it's the next story, that's brought to you by Modern Fertility. For a lot of us,
yes,
the start of the new year feels like the right time to schedule a doctor's appointment, check in with where you're at health-wise. But what about your reproductive health? We've always been big fans of planning ahead, you know, scheduling trips months in advance, plotting out our next career move, figuring out what we're doing for dinner while we're still eating breakfast. But we've never thought much about planning for kids. Did you know that 1 out of 8 couples struggle with infertility, which is a staggering statistic that most people generally don't know or aren't ready to talk about? That's why Modern Fertility was created. It's an easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with a simple finger prick. You'll mail it in with a prepaid label and you'll get your personalized results within 6 days. You'll get an insight into your hormone levels, like your ovarian reserve, aka if you have more or fewer eggs than the average woman your age. And you'll get insights into other important factors that can impact your fertility. The results will go deep into what every hormone means, and you can also download the results to view with your doctor for next steps. Keep in mind that traditional hormone testing at a fertility clinic can cost over $600, but Modern Fertility tests the same general set of hormones and it only costs $179. And we've got a code, because if you go to modernfertility.com/toast, you'll get an additional $20 off your test, and you can get reimbursed for the test through your FSA or your HSA. Right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/toast. That means your test will cost $159, which is just a fraction of what it would cost at a fertility clinic. Get $20 off your fertility test at modernfertility.com/toast. That's modernfertility.com/toast. Today's episode is also sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace is everything to sell anything. They have tools that you need to get your business off the ground, including e-commerce templates, inventory management, a simple checkout process, and secure payments. Whatever you sell, Squarespace has merchandising features to make your products look their best online. So if this year you want to get into like a side hustle, or you work in e-commerce and you don't have a ton of experience building websites, Squarespace is an amazing place to start. I have built many websites over my years on the internet, and I can tell you Squarespace is the easiest to do it, because I think a lot of people are very intimidated by building a website, especially if you don't have a background in like software engineering or design, and you don't need to. Squarespace can get you up and running with like a really professional looking website that you can design so easily. Their templates are really easy to use, and you don't need to have like a computer science background to get it done. They also just make e-commerce really easy. They have insight to your analytics with their traffic overview. You can see how your visits, unique visitors, and page views are trending. You can gain insight into the top traffic source, the products, the device types, browsers, operating systems. It's really great. And also the great part about Squarespace is that you own all the content that you put on the platform. They offer a one-click data portability. So if you've been, you know, thinking about getting into a side hustle, a side business, or you work in e-commerce and you want to revamp your website, check out squarespace.com/toast and you'll get a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, make sure to use code TOAST to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. Again, that's squarespace.com/toast for a free trial, and then offer code TOAST to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain.
Thank you, Claudia.
You're welcome.
It's so wonderful that you shared that with us.
You're welcome.
Our next story, an end to the saga of Amy Roback and TJ Holmes. They have been
fired.
Exited at ABC. ABC confirmed Friday that, quote, distractions, TJ Holmes and Amy Roback are officially out at the network following their scandalous affair. Sources tell Page Six that the deal between the network and their GMA3 anchors turned lovers was signed, executed, and done by Friday afternoon. An ABC spokesperson later confirmed the news in a statement, saying, after several productive conversations with Amy and TJ about different options, we all agreed it's best for everyone that they move on from ABC News. We recognize their talent and commitment over the years and are thankful for their contributions. Also, then this weekend, Amy and TJ were spotted
Loving
packing on the PDA
other.
In yeah. LA. Yeah, so they're still together. That's
the what's most important. I feel like there's something we don't know here, because to be honest, like, dating your coworker is not a fireable offense, especially when you work in media and there's been so much press around this and people are like kind of obsessed. It's all good. All rising tides rise all shines, you know? So I feel like they did an investigation and like found something else out. Like, I don't know. I feel like I'm missing a piece of information because I don't really understand what these two did to get let go.
Well, along the way, I feel like I saw some stories about how he had some other affairs with people that he worked with, like, over the years, mm-hmm. not while he's been with Amy. I think that they made it seem like that affected Amy and how she felt about him, but they're still together, so maybe that's all nonsense. I don't know, like, how deeply these claims were
right.
validated.
Researched.
So, but, no, I think that ABC just, like, totally, like, played this wrong and read this wrong. I think mm-hmm. they thought, you know, after a week, like, nobody really cared anymore.
Yep.
And I think they, like, still felt like, oh my God, everybody's talking about us. Yeah. Everybody's, like, talking about Amy TJ. It's like, no, we're not.
We're not.
And I think firing them was the complete wrong choice. They're also good anchors.
Yes.
And that's hard to find these days, as we've seen. You know, there's so much, like, turnover.
Yep.
And everyone's always looking for, like, the new host.
Yep.
But, like, these are good hosts. So I don't know what they'll do next. I think this is a mistake. Yeah, maybe there's more to the story, but I just think ABC looks stupid.
I agree. And I'm sure that they got paid out handsomely and they, you know, signed a bunch of stuff. Because honestly, this is like, if it's just on the surface of what we know, it's definitely wrongful termination. Like, your personal life, like, it really cannot, unless they, you know, signed something that they wouldn't date anyone. There's really nothing that we know that's worth getting fired over. So I'm sure they got like a very generous package and they don't have to work.
Yes, but I don't think their package would be like they don't have to work for the rest of their lives.
No, but like for the foreseeable future.
They could take a break and go to LA and be, you know, straddling
thirsty.
Each other outside the restaurant.
Yes, and that's just what they did.
Right. So maybe they'll do a podcast next. Like,
for sure. I mean, it's already crowded, so just join us.
Jump right in. You could go on the Kelsey podcast. You could go on our podcast. Yeah. We'd love to talk to you.
We'd love to.
About what really happened. Because, like, this is a nothing burger.
Nothing.
So
oh, my God.
They found love. They found... Oh, and they were married before.
Okay, so they found love and they're being punished.
They found love in an unexpected place.
In a hopeless place, GMA.
But don't we want to celebrate love?
Yeah, they literally found love in a hopeless place. Like, the third, fourth hour of the GMA. No one's watching that.
And they have stuck by each other's side yep. through this whole roller coaster.
No, it's true.
I probably at one point would have been like, honestly, you're not worth it. The trouble.
No, it's actually like a beautiful love story.
Yeah. I look forward to seeing the movie about it starring Blake Lively.
100%. She would do great.
She would do great in this role. Are you ready for our next story? A little more TV news. Page Six is reporting that Bravo has lost interest in Roni Legacy as contract talks stall over money. I believe this. The Real Housewives of New York City Legacy show may not happen because of a dispute about how much the cash should be paid, Page Six has exclusively learned. We're told Bravo has hit pause on contract negotiations, with sources close to the cast telling us the network is lowballing them, while production insiders huff that they think that the talent think they should make what the cast of Friends made in their heyday. Meanwhile, Page Six is told that the network appears to have lost interest in pursuing the Legacy edition amid the deadlock. So I believe this. I believe that the Legacy women want to get paid what, like, at least what they were making at the last paycheck that they got. And for Bravo, like, that's an expensive show when they have, you know, a new show, Roni Regular, where they're making their starting salary, entry level.
No, and it's a lot of money to pay women on a show. That sucked. Like, the show, we are at this crossroads because the show stunk. So right. to keep paying these OGs like Sonia, Luann, who've been on forever, who won't accept less than $1 million a season, probably more, to pay that for a show you have no idea if it's even going to be successful, like...
No, and for a show that, when we last spoke, flopped.
It failed, yeah.
Like, why would you... pay them those rates? And I also understand why for them, like, they're not going to really
get out of bed.
Maybe they'll accept like a little bit less. Okay, so, you know, we've been humbled, our show wasn't doing well, but like, they're not getting out of bed, they're not, you know, sharing their lives and everything that's so personal to them, because those women really give it all, and like, they're not gonna do that.
And you know what, cheap. This whole story just makes Ramona look like a queen. Like, Ramona, she said she bowed out. Some people didn't believe her. I actually kind of do. She's bowed out. She's not even involved. She's, you know, posting her real estate content. And she's not getting, like, dragged into this. And honestly, I feel like that was a really good call. Because I feel like the show might not even see the light of day.
Yeah. I really agree. There's all these, like, headlines that Ramona's better than ever. Happier than ever. Glad to be done with Roni.
Yeah.
I do believe that. Especially if there's not going to be a show anyway. And, like, she looks like the smartest one in the room.
Yeah. So my mind immediately went to Ramona. I could so see these women being like, it's Legacy, we've been on forever. Like, I want $2 million. Like, I could see that. I could see Bravo being like weighing their options. Like, this is dumb, by the way, because I'm sure this show will not even get picked up for a season two. So I actually understand both parties in the crossroads. And honestly, I don't think they should do the show.
Yeah, I could see like Luann being like, you know, I'm the Countess. Right. You know, I'm a big star. I'm not doing this for more than... let's say $1 million. And then that also makes people like Sonia and the other ones being like, well, if Luann's getting $1 million, I want $1 million. Mm-hmm. I've been on longer. I, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So whether this is true or not, I don't know, but I could see it being entirely true.
Yeah.
And it I makes feel like sense. There's almost like no energy for it. Like, does anyone care? I mean,
no, I don't think the lay people care.
It's just like diehard, like, corner of the internet Bravo fans. And I don't know if that's enough to make money for a network.
It's not. So I feel sorry for them.
Yeah.
Like, if they don't get what their, you know, their show. But there are so many now, like,
All-Stars,
Ultimate Girls Trip. Like, throw them in there.
BravoCon. There's a way to be a Bravo celebrity without having a show. They now. Just had that show on Peacock, Traitors or whatever. They had, like, people, like, from Shots of Sunset, all different reality shows that have been canceled that are not still on. And there's a way to have a career as a reality star without, like, having your own show.
Yeah, I think that they would be better off, you know, sending them on some of these Ultimate Girls Trips than giving them their own show.
I agree.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Final story, yes, I am.
A little collaboration news that never was that I actually found so interesting. Katy Perry reveals a huge mistake in declining to work with Billie Eilish. So a TikTok video was posted by 102.7 Kiss FM on Friday. Katy Perry was performing and she told a group of fans during what appeared to be an intimate gig about the collaboration that could have come to life. She said, Katy Perry said she received an email from someone that said, hey, check out this new artist. I'd really like us to work with her because she was working for me. She was working with Unsub Records. At the time, Billie was unknown. She said it was a song called Ocean Eyes and it was just a blonde girl. And I was like, meh, boring.
Dead. Honestly,
then she admitted it was a big mistake, huge mistake, passing up on the offer, and said, don't let this hit the internet.
No, but you know what? Like,
no, I completely agree.
That's how the music industry works. Like, there are so many, like, pretty young, talented girls, and there's really no reason why one makes it over the other, you know?
No, and the song Ocean Eyes, I know it's, like, the biggest song in the world. It's never done much for
me. Actually, I love it.
And if I heard it for the first time, I would have been like, meh, boring. No thanks.
By the way,
there was no way for her to know.
I think that this gig she was at or whatever, maybe it's not the same one, but you know, she was like in Australia this weekend at this like Good Day Australia, like charity. It was like this big fancy black tie event. And the honorees were Katy Perry and Miranda Kerr. And they like posted a million photos together. And I just felt like it was so weird. Like, because Miranda Kerr was there with Evan Spiegel. I don't know if Orlando Bloom was there with Katy, but like Katy's husband, father of a child, is Miranda Kerr's ex. And like Miranda Kerr, I just started following her on Instagram because she follows me. And she's so premium and she's so stunning. And I saw like a million pictures. She like posted 1,000 times with Katy Perry. And I was like, what is going on in the House of Commons?
Maybe they all get along.
No, I think that they do. I mean, they're all so moved on.
Do Miranda and Orlando have kids together? Any?
Oh, that's a good call.
Let's Google
if
Miranda.
If they do, then that makes sense as to how they could be like so, you know, peaceful and co-parenting.
Okay, she has 3 kids. Yeah, one's a Bloom.
Okay.
Flynn, Christopher, Blanchard,
so
Copeland,
you know what?
Bloom.
That's really nice. That's really nice that they all get along.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both so happy and moved on. Like, Orlando and Katy are so in love. And, of course, Evan and Miranda. So it's easy to co-parent when, you know, everyone ends up in a really happy, you know, successful relationship with somebody equally as rich, you know?
Yeah, yeah. When everybody lands on their feet, why can't we be happy for one another?
It's nice.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was cute.
I'll have to check out the pics.
No, and they look so cute. And, like, they actually kind of look alike. I could see, like, how that would be, like, Orlando Bloom's type. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you just look, they have like kind of like the same face.
Okay, I'm going to go look
like
at the
big
pictures.
Eyes.
Big eye. You know what they have? They have ocean eyes.
Literally. I do love hearing about like missed opportunities, like things celebrities passed on or didn't take that end up being. I feel like on Watch What Happens Live, Andy's always asking like, is it true you were supposed to be Rose in Titanic? And I kind of love learning about that. And people's reaction to it is also really funny.
Yeah, and also sometimes it's like someone auditioned for something they would have loved to get it. That's what happens most of the time. Like,
yeah.
But not that they passed on the opportunity of a lifetime, but also still like what could Katy Perry have done on Ocean Eyes that like.
I know.
You know.
She's like a pop global icon. So I don't know what working with Billie Eilish would have done for her except maybe make her a lot of money.
She's got a lot of money. She'll be okay.
She'll be fine. Do you think that they look alike if you're looking at pictures of them?
Yeah, they're both just gorgeous.
Yeah, they just look like the same girl, kind of. I'm like obsessed with Miranda Kerr. I'm in my Miranda Kerr era.
Oh, that's so cute.
She's kind of everything of the sort. Like, the more I think about her, I mean, I could talk about her marriage for a lifetime.
She's on Skinny Confidential podcast.
I know, because she has a makeup brand, Cora Organics or something.
Is it clean?
It's very clean, and she was on the podcast talking about how, like, it's so crazy what gets put into our makeup and skincare products, like,
That's what I'm trying to say. Miranda
you should
and I
get
are the
some,
same.
You should.
No wonder you're in your Miranda era because we're the same.
So true. And I'm always in my Jackie O era. My Jackie era. So those are the Fast Five. Definitely needed to know. I'm really glad. Honestly, I was like annoyed when our episode came out on Friday and we didn't have a chance to talk about Blake Lively because like I was fucking pissed. Like I was like, now I'm over it because like I moved on with my life. But like I was like, this fucking sucks.
Yeah, I'm going to move on with my life. I'm just not going to be as excited as I once was for the movie. Like, maybe, you know, it'll be like Top Gun where I see it 8 months too late. Sorry. And I think that because I'm not really excited about it, like, it's not going to be successful.
Yeah, no. And I think that they should kind of take a step back and look and say, Jackie O's not excited. Maybe we should change things up.
Yeah, maybe Blake Lively should play Ryle's sister.
Yeah. I want to find this TikTok. Somebody cast the movie to perfection.
Like, I think I know it was like Sadie Sink plays young Lily. Abigail Cowan plays older Lily.
Who's Abigail Cowan?
She's from Sabrina the Teenage Witch. You wouldn't know her from, but she was in Sabrina the Teenage Witch, but she's just a gorgeous redhead.
People really wanted the guy who plays Conrad in The Summer I Turned Pretty to play young Atlas, and I totally saw that.
Okay.
Lily Collins as Ryle's sister.
Yes. Okay, so we saw the same TikTok.
Miles Teller to be Marshall. Because Marshall's like this goofy... I kind of saw Marshall as like a really young Jason Segel.
Okay, wait. Here. I think I have the TikTok you're looking for. Yeah, I'm all brushed up on my talk. Oh, a really young Jason Segel. Yeah, that's pretty...
But he's too old now. And I think Miles Teller could do a good job at like a good Marshall. Like goofy, curly hair.
Yeah.
And okay, everybody wants Ryle to be Theo James from White Lotus.
Yes, this one says, did you see what I sent you?
Where'd you send it to me?
Sadie Sink is young Lily.
Yeah.
Lewis Patridge is young Atlas.
No, okay, that's what that's...
No. Abigail Cowan
is young Lily. I found it.
Okay.
Okay.
Look at the one I sent you, though.
No, I already saw that one when I was just looking right now because I Googled the same thing as you. So Conrad from...
Noah Centineo as Marshall.
Yeah, that one stinks. I don't like that casting. That one went viral. This one went viral, okay?
Okay.
Conrad as young Atlas. Adult Atlas, Alex Pettifer. I don't like that, but that's the only flaw in the casting.
Let's give him Blake Lively.
Sadie Sink, young Lily, of course. Holland Roden as adult Lily. Do you know her?
Let me Google.
She very briefly dated Zac Efron. I don't know if she has like a ton. Holland Roden.
Gorgeous. Yeah, she looks familiar.
She has like that face. Theo James as Ryle. Miles Teller as Marshall. Lily Collins as Marshall's wife, Alyssa, Ryle's sister. This is the best one. Shout out to Katie Feeney on TikTok for going viral with that.
Yeah, that's good.
Like the fact that people on TikTok can like make a cast come to life better than a movie studio will just blow my mind in perpetuity.
Yeah. And I do feel like TikTok should have been able to weigh in a little bit, considering
they have some good ideas.
This was the book of TikTok.
So true. So motherfucking true.
I wonder how Colleen feels. I mean, I'm sure she's mostly like so down, but like that TikTok feels so much ownership over her books. It's like, no, I wrote them.
I think for an author, my vision. But I think for an author, that's like the dream.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what happened to her and her books and like just the virality and book talk and everything like is amazing.
Yeah.
And I think any cons that came along with it are not even a blip on the radar for her.
She just bought her mom a house. She's fine.
Yeah.
So that's our show.
That is.
It is, correct?
Yeah, ours.
Oh, I was confused. No,
I feel like some people thought it was the Kelsey Brothers show, but it's not.
No, but it wasn't.
It's so similar.
That's New Heights, right?
Was that the name of it?
I don't know. In the Heights?
I feel like, I thought it was.
No, I think it was New Heights.
Hold on. I already lost it. Kelsey Bros. The Kelsey Brethren. That's what it should be called.
100%.
New Heights.
Is that what I said? Are we okay?
It's just it's a bad name that you literally can't remember
if you tried.
Your life depended on it.
So this has been a new episode of New Heights. Thank you so much for listening to New Heights, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast-sized stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So it's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us on social media, 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have an incredible Monday. We'll see ya tomorrow.
Love ya. Bye.